Sarah, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, 1.7 billion stars. There must be an extraordinary amount of data that's gone into creating this this star chart.
Oh, it's really unprecedented. The fact that we had to launch an entire satellite to just go in orbit and only do this mission is the only way that we've been able to build up that kind of data set. It's really huge steps above what we've been able to do before.
Tell us a little bit about the process, what it involved in terms of, you know, receiving the data from the satellite and actually putting this information together, if you could.
Oh, so the Gaia team is huge. They have a lot of people, mostly in Europe, but across the world, who spent, like you said earlier, years putting together processing software and just very carefully understanding everything about the instrument in order to get the very best possible data out of it.
And what kind of information is actually catalogued for the star chart? What do we actually pop in terms of the details for each star?
Yeah, so the fundamental thing that Gaia does is to measure very precisely where stars are and how bright they are. But it spins as it orbits so that it looks at the same stars many times as it orbits. And so when you look at something many times over a couple of years, you can tell if it's moving. And from stars that are moving across the sky, we can then figure out how fast they're going, and that any other way. So Gaia is not only giving us a huge number more than previously, but it's giving us this extra dimension of precise distance that we've never been able to get before.
Absolutely fascinating. Are there any particular insights that some astronomers have gained from using this information, using the star chart so far?
So the data set became public Wednesday night here in Australia, so it's been not quite 2 days, and already people have been doing all kinds of work with it. People have been directly into making figures and writing computer programs to do analysis, and they've been all over Twitter, actually, with plots of what they're working on, and, oh, look at this cool thing that I found. I think my favorite example was from one of the people who, because you can measure how fast stars are moving across the sky, looked at the Large Magellanic Cloud, which is the closest small galaxy to ours, and you can actually see it rotating anti-clockwise in the measurements, which is just absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely incredible. And I imagine with a data set like this, I mean, the possibilities of what remain to be found are just about absolutely limitless.
Oh, it's staggering. We're going to be busy for years with this one data set. Within Galah, the information that we collect is a lot more detailed than Gaia. So we're measuring the abundances of lots of different elements for a lot of the stars that are in Gaia. And so we will be very busy with putting together both how the stars are moving through the galaxy, how they're orbiting, and also what they're made out of and how old they are and things like that in order to try to take a historical view of the Milky Way. But there are so many projects and so many different branches of astronomy that are really fundamentally changed by the Gaia data set. It's really exciting.
I think that's one of the things that strikes me most about these kind of releases nowadays. Obviously, as you said, you're coming to us from the GLASS survey, and you're obviously got some form of structure in the way in which you will be studying this kind of release. But when we talk about these huge public releases of data sets, of enormous charts like this kind of thing, the outsourcing, I guess you might say, of research to so many astronomers, maybe amateur astronomers, professionals with a little bit of extra time on their hands and the like, that really, I would imagine, helps.
There have been a lot of really great public science projects that astronomers have put together, but also there are lots of branches of science that do this. But I am really looking forward to Gaia putting together something like that to just enlist all the people who are interested in this exciting stuff and see what we can find.
Well, I'm sure, look, it's a very exciting time, I think, in astronomy. I'm sure we will be seeing a great deal more stories coming out of, which, as you mentioned, only came out a couple of days ago now. I understand, is it correct in saying there is going to be another data release in 2020 as well?
Yeah, so that's the plan right now. And then there will be another two after that. So as Gaia continues to orbit and it continues to observe and it looks at these stars many more times, smoke fumes and emotions gets more and more precise. In addition, Gaia is collecting other information that they're just not ready to make it public quite yet. So they intend to collect more detailed information about temperatures and the chemical compositions of them and things like that, and so the data releases.
Sarah, thank you.
You can tell that I keep saying exciting, but it's really a fun subject. It's a fun time right now.